I want you to take your Bible, turn to the book of Jude tonight, the book of Jude, chapter 1. Book of Jude. I want to read just two verses this evening, verse 20 and 21. We will be dealing with a few more than that, but to begin tonight, I'd like to read verse 20 and 21 of the book of Jude. Verse 20 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You. We have the blessed privilege of this book. I pray You might bless tonight. I pray, Spirit of God, You move amongst us and teach us. Illuminate our hearts and our minds, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Noah, after a long life of walking with God, had a failure. We find in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. We go three chapters later, and we find it says, "Noah began to be a husbandman." This is after the flood, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. Moses, the great leader over Israel, we find, lost his temper and spake very inadvisedly. Psalm chapter 106, when it speaks of it, says, "They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sake, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips." We find Samuel, the great man of prayer, a great prophet of God, did not discipline his children after the Lord. We find Solomon began magnificently, but we find that he ended really disastrously, though there was recovery made. We find Uzziah, after a glorious reign, intruded into the priest's office. We find the records of these good men temporarily drawn aside from their proper path of fellowship with God. And we find that certainly God has given to you and I a message that is urgent. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 12, the Apostle Paul, writing to these Corinthians, says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." The book of Jude is written for you and for me, that we might understand that there are false teachers. We might understand there are those who would lead us astray. And Satan, of course, is going to bring these into our lives. Sometimes they are in pulpits. Sometimes they are associates at work that give us the wrong messages. But they're everywhere. But yet we find there's some distinguishing marks about them. Go to verse number 16 and notice what he says. He said in verse 16, "These are also murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." We could stop and we could speak on those things tonight, though that is not the intent. We find in verse number 19, he also mentions some more characteristics of them. "These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." And we find certainly that there are many who would lead us astray. The whole purpose of this little book, though it contains but 25 verses, I believe is that you and I might understand the importance of practicing what is contained in verse 20, 21, and really down through the end of this chapter. And it begins very simply in verse number 20. As he says, but ye, beloved, he says, I want you to understand there is something different for you. And notice what he says here, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. If there is something that you and I need tonight, that is to be lovers of the Word of God. Lovers of this book we call the Bible. Oh, how we need that. I remember sitting in class one day and the professor we had, you know, you call them professors in college, he was a pastor, and Dr. Paul Vanneman. Dr. Vanneman was an unusual man, and he was very theatrical in what he did. Matter of fact, he had attended Bob Jones University, and theatrics there is one of the, it's really pushed, and he had been in some of the plays there, and it had brought him out of some of his cocoon, his shell, if you so please. And when he preached, he was very theatrical. I wish I had another word at the moment. And sometimes there'd be tremendous gestures. I remember one time hearing him preach, though I shouldn't say that, seeing him preach. For a great deal of the message, all he did was go through actions. And it was on the judgment seat of Christ. And how the Lord Jesus, as our witness, really as one who is standing there on our side, our advocate, if you please, and how the accusations would be brought against us, and how he would point to the scars that was on his head, and he would point to his hands, and he'd point to his side, and he'd point to his feet. And he did it in tremendous gestures. Sitting in class one day, I remember he got talking about the Word of God, and he picked up his Bible, and as he was holding that Bible and telling us how wonderful and important it was in his life, he picked it up, and with great emotion, he kissed its pages. And it was an act that was spontaneous. It was an act that was not rehearsed, but it was something that just came because that's who he was. And that's what you and I ought to be, as lovers of the Word of God. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, does it not? And hearing by the Word of God. If you and I are going to build ourselves in our faith, then it must be through the Word of God. We must be under its preaching. We must be involved in its reading in order for faith to be a response. How we must have that. If we're going to have faith, that means we're going to believe in something. Is that not true? Faith is not just something. You know, a lot of folks say, have faith, baby, and all they mean is, well, just believe. Believe what? Believe what? And believe who? I mean, those things are very important. Amen? And so there's truth that must be believed. That when you and I can read the wondrous truth and we can put our faith in it, we can say, hey, that's what God says. I just believe it. I don't understand it. Matter of fact, sometimes it does not make sense. Sometimes it does not seem rational, but God said it, and therefore I believe it. By the way, that doesn't make it so. You've heard the little phrase, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. No, it's settled because God said it. Not whether we believed it or not, but we ought to be lovers of the Word of God. He says, building ourselves up in the faith. Building, that's an interesting term because it suggests industry and it suggests progress in our lives. If we're going to build ourselves, then we must be obedient to what we have heard, to what we have learned, and follow its dictates and see it transpire in our lives. And progress is certainly that as we see God work in and through those things. But notice, secondly, he says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Maintain habits of prayer. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Those who pray are those who recognize their need is beyond their ability to do. Too often we think, oh, I can handle this. And too often, rather than pray, we decide we can figure it out ourselves. But prayer is when we come to the spot is, I don't know how to do it. You know, as we get older, we ought to be in that spot where we would know more. But I find myself saying, I don't know more than I used to. Because I really don't. And I need God to help me in those things. And how we need to come to Him in the Holy Ghost means that we are seeking God's answer, not our predetermined one. Have we ever come to God and we've asked Him a question, wanting Him to answer it our way? This is the way you need to answer it, God. If you're going to do this, do it my way. No. Praying in the Holy Ghost is allowing Him to direct our prayers so whereby we are so involved that we're saying to God, whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, that is fine with me. Beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Are there false teachers out there? Are there things that are going to try to trip you up? Yes. So what's the need of the hour? Build ourselves in the faith, pray in the Holy Ghost. Notice also as we go into verse number 21, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. How can we do that? Guarding our activities. Keep ourselves in the love of God. I believe that there are umbrellas of protection. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's an umbrella of protection. That's really what it is. It's following their rules, their dictates, because they are what? Guarding over you. They're watching out for your welfare. They're looking for your benefit. And we need those kinds of things. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Don't get in those areas where we're not experiencing it. Those activities that take our minds and our hearts away from the love of God. You know, there's things out there that they're not wrong, but they will distract us from His love. Another person might do it and wouldn't bother them at all, but for us, it would. I appreciate Doc's testimony so much in this area. As most of you know, Doc was an accomplished musician and played the steel guitar. But you've never heard him play in church. I think he tried one time. He said, I cannot do it because I played for the glamour of the world. I played that they might applaud and for money and what have you. For him to do that, it just doesn't work. And I say amen. I heard Mark Gray get all over his case. And a little later, after he was out of earshot, I said, Mark, leave him alone. He knows what he's talking about. Mark wanted him to use it for the Lord. I know what he was after. I understand that very well. But I also understand that there are things that are good, that are okay, but they distract us. And so what do we need to do? If we're going to keep ourselves in the love of God, some of those things need to go. Some of those things need to not be there. So there's those kinds of activities. Thank God, His love is not diminished. But you and I many times get where we don't feel it. We don't experience it. So guard our activities. Keep ourselves in the love of God. Notice also, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Looking for Christ's mercy. The whole idea of staying in the love of God has to do with His mercy. It's only here that allows us that great love to come our way, for we cannot earn it. Amen? It's only by the mercy of God. There is nothing that will develop our love for Him than a wholesome realization of His merciful kindness to us. Wow. And let me put this to you. We're going to go into this in just a moment here. It will help you in your ministry to others, realizing the wonderful mercy of God. What God has put up with in your life and in my life. Our lack of devotion, our lack of faithfulness, all of those things, and yet God is merciful. How that ought to cause us to love Him more as we stop and reflect on that. And so the Lord here tells us, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Some have said that's referring to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and certainly that would be true as well, looking for Him. Notice verse number 22. There's an and that starts that along with verse number 23, because God wants us not only to have these things in our lives, but that we might be a blessing in the lives of others. And so I've just labeled this little portion, verse 21 and 22, discernment or discern in ministry. God gives us ministry. Who do we minister to? Well, we take the gospel to all the world. Is that not true? And so we minister to anybody and everybody that we come into contact with. That means, by the way, save people and lost folks. We have ministry to each other. We have ministry to a world. And you and I, we are to make a difference. Notice what it says, and some have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I look here and I see really a couple of different kinds of individuals. There are some, they simply need our love and patience to be saved, or can I say sanctified? Christians, let me take you for a moment here. Let's think about something for a moment. Because this comes upon God's people many times. We must have mercy in our dealings with other Christians. Because they aren't perfect. And they're not at the same spot we're at. That doesn't mean, by the way, they're lower. Doesn't mean they're higher. But oh, how we need this thing of love and patience with God's people. God was patient with us. If you're not careful, you can really get down on lost people and Christians. You can get down on lost folks because nobody wants to listen. And you can get down on Christians because they're just not doing what you think they ought to be doing. I remember many years ago, we had a work day. And there was only two or three that showed up to the work day. And one of the individuals looked at me and very concerned, says, "Where is everybody?" I wanted to say, same place you were last week. Amen. Same place you were last week. Same place I was many, many times. But that wouldn't have helped them either. And so we need to understand, people need our love. They need our patience. And when I'm looking at verse number 22, I'm thinking of those who are much easier. Those are the ones that we look at and we think, hey, there is some hope. But I look at verse number 23, and it says, "And others say with fear." Have you ever looked at those folks that you don't think could ever get right with God? Have you ever looked at those you don't think could ever get saved? And many times you just want to give up. God says, here's making a difference. And pulling them out of the fire. Yes, yes, there are folks who seem that way, but we don't give up. We don't give up. And so we need discernment because every individual is different. Some we look at and we get discouraged with them. Others we look at and we think, well, they will never be reached. Sometimes we think that about all of them. But oh, how we need to just keep on keeping on, making a difference in lives. Notice something that he says here. There's a warning that's issued. Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. The warning is, never attempt to do what you do in the power of the flesh. It doesn't work. So if you and I are going to be ministering properly, what do we must have? Building ourselves in the faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping ourselves in the love of God, looking to the mercy of God. And when you and I are in right relationship with God, it's a marvelous then how we can also be able to discern and minister to others. Be able to give them the gospel. Man, when you're relishing in the mercy and the grace of God. Isn't it amazing how you can look at folks who are what we would consider very sinful and realize, hey, God can be gracious to them too. Because but by the grace of God, there go I. That's who I was and God saved me. And God reaches down and does those wonderful things. You and I have a marvelous privilege to be able to what? Minister for the cause of Christ. God wants us to keep close to Him. Where are you at with Him? Where are you at with Him? You know, we can be busy doing stuff, but we haven't obeyed. We haven't built ourselves. We've not prayed in the Holy Ghost. We're not excited about the love of God or the mercy of God. And we're going through the motions in the flesh. And God's warning us here. We need to be walking with Him. Amen. We're walking with Him. Then we can have the right thing with other individuals. Where are you at with Christ? Only you know that. Only I know that about me. And we need to let Him have His way. Amen. Father, tonight, work in our hearts. Lord, help us to not only right now, but constantly do inward self-inspection. Be willing to see who we are in our relationship with You. Oh God, I pray tonight that You'll just anoint here and bless in these moments. May You be glorified. If there's a need in a heart to walk this aisle and to pray and to seek Your face, oh God, so be it. Don't let us sit here. God, have Your way. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.